Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Thank you for listening to AFR. You want to send us an email. If you want to send us an email, you can use this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And I'm Tim with Ed and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray's back with us for the first time in, at least 4 weeks, right, Ray? Something like that.
First time this year. Yeah. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you, Ray. I had the biking accident and surgery on his leg.
A couple of surgeries with one more to go.
Yeah, so when do you think you'll be riding your bike again, though, Ray? Maybe April or May, maybe?
It's good. April, May, okay. Maybe. You know, not. I don't think before March. It's going to be, well, after the next surgery, 2 to 3 months non-weight-bearing before I can get out and do anything. So, yeah.
Well, we definitely know you won't be riding your bike until the ice melts, right?
So. You have got that right. No more riding on ice. Lesson learned.
Insult
the hard way.
Only because I know he's okay.
I know. Steve Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Ray, it's really good to be back with you again.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Ray, can you turn around and face the other direction for me for a second? There you go. It's nice to see your back.
Oh, man.
Kaboom.
That's a groaner. You've been hanging around with J.J. Jasper.
I got nothing to say to that, Steve. That was
great.
Yeah.
That was better than we've come to expect, but still,
there you go.
But still not good enough. You know,
go work on your material, Steve.
That's
come
right.
back to us.
I'll ask my son.
Stick with the news.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. What do you got, Steve?
Well, I guess you guys were talking last hour about this whole confrontation in Washington between this Indian American guy and
the American Indian confronted the teenage boys in the Catholic school. It wasn't the other way around.
Right. Anyway. Well,
yeah, you liberal.
There's a businessman in Kentucky. His name is Jeff Ruby. He owns several high-end restaurants in the Lexington area and everything, and he has offered to fly Nathan Phillips, who's this American Indian guy, out first class to sit down at his restaurant and have a talk and make peace, smoke the peace pipe, as it were, with these Covington Catholic kids. And he said, according to Nathan Phillips, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer, said it's not time yet because of the statement that was released by Nick Sandman, this kid. Nick Sandman, the statement that he made was, he said, I believe that by, this is Nick Sandman, the student, the Catholic student, after this whole confrontation, when asked to explain what happened, said this. He said, I believe that by remaining motionless and calm, I was helping to diffuse the situation. I realized everyone had cameras and perhaps a group of adults was trying to provoke a group of teenagers into a larger conflict. I said a silent prayer that the situation would not get out of hand. So Nathan Phillips, the protester, the drum guy, we'll just call him drum guy, said it's not time to meet with him yet because of that statement. And he says, I'm disappointed in his statement. He didn't accept any responsibility. That lack of responsibility, I don't accept it. And then he said this, I cannot work with liars and thieves. What did he steal?
He's talking about Europeans stealing a Native American's land.
Well, he's not. He might be that, but what he said was, he stole my narrative from the time I hit.
Wait a minute, are you quoting?
I'm quoting Nathan Phillips, the drum guy, who said that Nick Sandman stole his narrative from the moment I hit my first beat of the drum until I hit the last beat. I was in prayer, and now all of a sudden, he's the prayer guy and the passive one. So he refuses to go and meet with this guy.
I can't take anymore.
No.
All right? I'm telling my wife we're going to go find a mountain somewhere and we're going to build a little cabin. I'm done. All right, I'm just done.
Okay. I know you, Ed. You're not going to last very long.
As long as I can get pizza and hockey.
Stole my narrative. So he had a narrative going?
Yeah, his narrative
that means
was,
you had a plan.
I'm the guy that's the sure. peaceful yeah. guy, because remember he said he was standing between this kid and the other black Israeli, whatever they were.
You know what happened there if you watch that video, that this Indian man, what's his name?
Nathan Phillips is his
name. Nathan Phillips, 64 years old now. Keep in mind, he's old enough to be the grandfather of these kids.
Right.
He decides, I don't like those white kids over there with the MAGA hats. I'm going to go start something with them. So I'm going to take my little drum over there and get in the middle of their circle and find one of them, and I'm going to bang my drum 6 inches or whatever it was, a foot from their face. Maybe they'll hit me, push me. I got it on video, and I'm a celebrity.
Right.
And I get on TV and, write a book, make a movie, whatever.
I wonder what his prayer was. I'd like to ask him, what were you praying for? You said this was your time of prayer. You were praying that whole time, from the time you first started beating the drum to the end. You were praying. What were you praying? Were you praying for all these kids to go back to Europe, where their ancestors were from?
Who told them to go back to Europe?
That was the guy who was with them. It was another Native American who was with the Indian, Nathan Phillips, who's beating the drum. You could hear him in one of the videos saying, white people stole our land, go back to Europe.
Okay. Well, wasn't that not reported very much. Anyway, we know what's going on here. But you know what? I've been in these situations a few times in my life where you're at events like this, where you have protesters, you have people who have strong beliefs, one different views. You basically you stay away from each other physically.
Right.
Because it can get combative.
Tempers flare,
right. and people from all sides have tempers,
right,
and they can be provoked. Fortunately, this young man, this young teenage boy, what was his name?
Nick Sandman.
Fortunately, he had the wherewithal and the composure to stand there and smile. Now, his smile got him in trouble with the political left, because that's
people didn't like his smirk.
It's a smirk. So if he'd looked stoic, though, he'd have been staring him down. He's staring him down. So there's no good. I would ask the left, what kind of facial expression do you want for the picture? Tell us, and we'll give him to him. Yep. He didn't have that. He had everything to do with his white face and his MAGA hat.
Right.
That's all you need to know, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this situation hopefully will be calmed down, because this school and these kids' lives have been turned upside down.
I was looking at a series of tweets from Nick Sandman's brother, who was back. He said it was supposed to be a joyful time for the family this last weekend, because one of the brothers was getting married and everything, and they were doxxed, which means their address and everything, and they have had to deal with
was made public.
They've had to deal with threats, death threats, graffiti. It's just been horrendous on these people.
All right, next story, Steve.
All right, you guys were talking in the last hour about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
29 years old.
29 years old
from
New York.
You have to be held to run for president at 35?
35. Now, I just have
to... But she can identify.
She can.
As a 35-year-old?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. She could self-identify as a 35-year-old, and I think go ahead and run. Go ahead.
Well, she might want to hurry up this process. I think she's in a hurry, because according to her, we don't have a whole lot of time left. I want to play you something that she was addressing an MLK event over the weekend.
You mean to the end of the world or what?
Well, this is what she said.
The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is... Your biggest issue is, how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And, like, this is the war. This is our World War II. Mm-hmm. How are we saying take it easy when the America that we're living in today is so dystopian, with people sleeping in their cars so that they can work a second job without health care?
What was it, health care or global warming?
Had a couple of different things that I cut it down because it was long. But, yeah, she had a couple different things that she was upset about.
Hey, she's a celebrity with the left in this country.
She was on Stephen Colbert. Ray?
She's got 2 million Twitter followers. And, which, I mean, Steve, that was kind of a if you listen to the longer section, kind of a stream of consciousness kind of speech, jumping from this to that. Mm-hmm. Then at the end, she throws down the word dystopian, which makes it sound very deep and, you know.
What does that mean?
What is it?
What does that mean?
It's the opposite of utopia.
It's the opposite of utopia. Okay, so gotcha. Utopia would be everything's great. Dystopia would be something that you see in movies where America
like
is
dysfunctional, the D-Y-S means.
So I happen to think she's young and she often misspeaks, but I think she's going to be able to, with some age and some experience, get a little bit of that under control. And I think she will have the personality and the right story to really actually make some waves in politics, in Democrat politics in America. This is where the Democrat Party is going. Even those centrists, the supposed centrists that want to bring the Democrat Party, you know, to keep it from going totally socialist, are going to, I mean, they're all old.
Where'd she pull the 12 years out of the hat from?
I think it's just out of the hat. She just grabbed a number probably, or maybe she saw something.
You know, the global warming, some of these folks, they keep putting numbers on it like this, and they keep pushing it back based on the time they say it.
Right.
Huh? I think Al Gore had us already underwater by now.
Sure.
That's right.
So she's got a 12-year, if we don't address, what did she say if we don't address?
Well, she said the world's going to end because of global warming, climate change. It's going to end in 12 years, and she was criticizing someone, and your biggest concern is how do we pay for it?
Because that's what everybody's been saying with this new Green New Deal.
So this is the way, forgive me for using this, but this is her way of trumping any contrary opinion, is the world's going to end, so nothing you say is important enough is stopping the end of the world.
It doesn't matter how we pay for it.
And then she's got to get control of her language, because she said, well, this is like our World War II. And I'm sitting here going, well, that's already come and gone. You mean this is our World War III?
Well,
she's saying this is this generation's World War II.
Right.
Global warming is Nazism.
Well, the world didn't end. All right. I'm nitpicking. All right.
So. Well, if you're going to.
I got it, Ed.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay, I was connecting.
I'm still on the. I'm already on that mountaintop.
It brings a whole new meaning to the term storming the beaches, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. She's just, you know, she does have a. How many followers, Ray, on Twitter?
Over 2 million. Growing every day.
Now, what you get with somebody like her is I don't care about her details or her exactness. You get some of this with Trump when he ran.
That's right.
She's being passionate about the issues.
That's a good point.
If she gets some facts or details wrong or messes up her language, I don't really care about that. The thing is her heart and what's driving her and her message.
Right. That's the thing. Intention is everything with these people.
So
well, but like Tim said, it's the same with a lot of supporters of Trump. Is we will excuse some of the hyperbole and getting the facts wrong because we like where he wants to take us, and that's what matters.
The thinking is if maybe this kid with the MAGA hat and the smirk isn't racist, but somewhere out there is a kid with a MAGA hat that's racist, so we might as well.
It's the Tawaner Brawley effect with Reverend Al Sharpton. He got his start, you remember?
Right.
With a story about a young black woman in New York that was allegedly raped by white kids or white men.
White men.
As it turns out, the story was made up.
She admitted lying.
She admitted lying. It was made up. Well, Sharpton didn't have to suffer any consequences.
In fact, I think his argument was just what he said. Well, but this is a real problem. So talking about Tawana Brawley simply allowed us to talk about the real problem that's out here. And
So we can the same way with Michael Brown, the young man who was shot and killed in Ferguson. You remember that narrative turned out to be not true about hands up, don't shoot. He was shot in the back like an animal and all that stuff. That was not true. But what they said was, well, for even people would say, well, so what if it wasn't true? The story about the cop killing him. So what if it wasn't true? It happened somewhere.
Right.
See, so that's how they get by with some of that. All right, next story, Steve.
Every year, Planned Parenthood, our least favorite group and abortion syndicate in the country, puts out an annual report on its financial status. It's required to do so as a public company. And in this year, we found out that the number of abortions that the group did increased by 11,000 abortions over last year. Well, actually, the 2016. This is the 2017-2018 fiscal report. So they did 11,000 more abortions, and they took about $20 million more dollars from taxpayers to the tune of more than $500 million in 2017-2018 from taxpayers. Meanwhile, the amount of other services they did, the amount of birth control that they handed out plummeted. Cancer screenings and preventions were way down. Other women's services like pregnancy tests were way down. Adoption referrals were almost non-existent to begin with, but they are down. Were down as well. So everything that they're doing is to further what the new president of Planned Parenthood said: abortion is our primary business.
Well, it's not news.
Okay, I'll move on.
I'm not to be a smart aleck.
There's no surprise.
Well, it does point out the fact that Planned Parenthood's argument that they're all about women's health and not just abortion, it really isn't true, and their own statistics prove it.
Well, their own words prove it as right. Well. That was what the new president was pushing back against the day when she said, we have all kinds of services for women, and the abortion clique tore her apart, saying, no, we're about abortion. She had to admit that that's what they were, abortion. Her name is Leanna Nguyen, Dr. Nguyen. So, to $500 million of taxpayers per fiscal year were given this group.
Yeah. Will we ever see that? Mm. Guys, will we ever see them defunded? Are we going to live to see them defunded?
Well, not by this Republican Party. They don't consider that a hill to die on. I'm talking about all of them. There are a lot of good pro-life Republicans that would, but they were not able to get this to the level of, for example,
They don't
Mitch
have the
McConnell.
Votes. I'm not excusing what Ed's talking about. I'm just saying that I've been told by a senator that the votes aren't in the Senate.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Even if you had every Republican vote,
they would but they would have to get rid of the filibuster for that particular vote. Yeah. That's the only way they could do it, and they're not willing to do it because it's not important enough.
Right. So the battle continues there. Yeah. And I don't know the answer to your question, right? Very, very difficult. Planned Parenthood money is entrenched in Medicare?
Yes.
Well, but anyway, it's hard to get to.
Medicaid, I think it's Medicaid.
I always get those two mixed up.
So anyway, next story, Steve.
All right, let's. I know we got a couple minutes, but I think we can spend a couple minutes on this. We talked about it this morning. Saints fans have taken to change.org. It's a petition site, and they are petitioning for the NFL to replay the last part of the Saints-Rams game. Which was
replay? How do you do that?
Well, I think they would set the ball down at the down and distance right before that blown pass interference call that cost the Saints the game and the Super Bowl. Everybody
a trip to the Super Bowl.
A trip to the Super Bowl, and they just play the game from there with the same amount of time on the clock.
I've read several articles on this, and apparently it is within the power of the commissioner of the NFL to actually do that. At the same time, there's no way they will. Because all it does is then make an international story out of the failure of that one particular official to make the right call. And I'm not saying this as a Rams fan. I'm glad the Rams are going to the Super Bowl, but the Saints did get robbed. And so there's no way they could. It would just be so bizarre to have to play that last couple of minutes.
Many, many games have been lost or won because of a referee or umpire's call. Now, not all of them have the import that this did, being so critical at the last of the game, but nobody has ever replayed a game because of something like that I can ever recall.
Right.
But boy.
But they got a petition going to make it happen?
They do. They have a petition going. So here's my question. I don't know, Ray, you're a football fan. Do you think there's going to be some rules changes going into next year about what plays are reviewable?
Well, yes, and speaking as someone who lives in Kansas City,
yeah,
we're all up here still irritated about that offsides call.
Yeah.
that would have ended the game and sent Kansas City to the Super Bowl. So, yes, we're all hoping there'll be a whole bunch of rule changes. Whether that's going to make any difference, I don't know.
You know, it's funny because Allison, my wife, and I were listening to the end of the Kansas City Chiefs versus New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And Lord Brady was
– Lord Brady.
Lord Brady.
That's good.
Lord Brady was, presiding. And my wife – and she likes football, and I like football. And she doesn't follow it like the intricacies of everything. All she said was, we're listening there, and she's reading something, a text on her phone, and the radio says, and the Patriots get the ball first in overtime. And she says, they're done.
Yeah.
Chiefs are done.
Yeah.
Because she said, you're going to give Tom Brady the ball first.
That's right.
And if he scores a touchdown, he wins. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I knew, when that happened, what was going to happen. But the Chiefs had a great season.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Saints had great seasons, but only two teams can make it to the Super Bowl.
So there's a lot of people that are on this. I hate Brady. I don't want to see him win again. And everything.
Why?
I'm not. Well, because they
human jealousy.
Maybe it's jealousy. Unless you're a Patriots fan, it gets tiring. But here's the thing. He, I think, undoubtedly is the greatest quarterback in all of the NFL of all time. The GOAT.
Not negotiable.
I don't think you really can argue it. As far as quarterbacks, if you had a chance to go see Babe Ruth play, would you say, I get tired of him hitting home runs and winning all the time? No, I feel like that's what I'm watching.
By the way, Tom Brady went over to the Kansas City locker room after
the
game.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And wanted to personally meet with Mahomes, the quarterback for Kansas City, and console him and congratulate him on a great season and great play.
Yeah.
That was a classy move by Tom Brady.
Yeah.
We got one more minute. What else you got, Steve?
Do you
have anything else?
Well, that was my last.
Should we have a moment of silence?
No, we can't do that. That's bad.
That's bad radio.
That's bad radio. They have covered up the Columbus painting on the University of Notre Dame.
Don't get Ed started.
Brother.
What they covered up for?
Because Columbus is all about indigenous people and wrecking the country and theft and
so celebrating the life
someone's
of,
narrative.
Celebrating the life of Christopher Columbus is.
They've replaced Christopher Columbus Day or Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day in many places. Well, Notre Dame, the Catholic University. Christopher Columbus, who brought Christianity to the New World.
Yes,
Ed. Remember, you're going to be remembered for the next 30 seconds of whatever commentary you have.
Whatever comes out of my mouth.
Yes.
Well, I will say this: I don't think that this move to diss Christopher Columbus is as much about him being white as it is about him being Italian.
Is that right?
That's right. So the real victims, in my opinion, are the Italians who have suffered ages upon ages
of stereotyping.
Ethnic stereotypes.
I wonder if there's any kind of a group that talks about this we can get on or something.
that's
good, Ed. I like that. That's beautiful.
So there we go. I brought us to the end of the show.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Okay.
Ray, it is good to hear your voice, brother.
Thanks, Ed. Great to be back.
KeepBelievingMinistries.org, is that right?
.com.
Okay. You think I'd said that enough to remember.
KeepBelieving.com is Ray's
website.
And your Facebook page. You have a Facebook page too, right?
Yes.
Ray Pritchard. If people want to see pictures of Ray smiling as he's suffering.
Yes.
All right. Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
For your contributions to this here show. We'll see you back tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.